Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
As Nate likes to say, people of God and St. Bede's. It's good to see you all here today. The Church of God is in session. God is here by His Holy Spirit and through His Word. Well, two wonderful lessons to choose from this morning. The Old Testament lesson of the handoff of the baton from Moses to Joshua. The New Testament lesson, pretty much a handoff from the great Apostle Paul to his somewhat timorous proselyte Timothy. And the baton was being passed. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, the passing of the baton and the continuance of God's people and the forward movement of God's church. Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. If you want to turn in your pew Bible, you may certainly do so. As I started, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Of all the things Moses could have been called, the prophet of God, the deliverer of God, of the people of God out of Egypt, the great and mighty lawgiver, the judge, the builder of the tabernacle in the wilderness, the one whom God was with in mighty signs and wonders, this Moses is called the servant of the Lord. And so he was. And the first clue to living a happy Christian life is to see yourself as a servant. Jesus said, "He who would be first in my kingdom must become servant of all." And so Christianity, in a sense, is a race for the bottom. Who gets to serve the most, in the humblest way? And the Lord says, in due time I will exalt thee. And so we are happy taking the lowly place, waiting for our Lord to say, come up higher. And so Moses, this great man, had died, and the Lord spoke to Joshua. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That there was going to be a continuance and the passing on of the mantle of God to the protege Joshua. And the Lord spoke to Joshua, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So truly God was on the move. And he doesn't wait around wondering what to do, but he tells Joshua, Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go and do it. Take this people of God, this unruly, messy, tangled up people of God, and take them from here and move them over there across the Jordan. Now, if you were Joshua, in other words, a real human being, you might find that a daunting proposition. Who are you, first of all, to deal with people of God? And number two, it's not like the land across the Jordan is an uninhabited land, is it? No. There are occupants in the land. But God is giving the land to His chosen people. So the Bible is all about movement and directionality. It's an arrow of movement that, looking back, we can see as history. But looking forward, we see as destiny. And we should always kind of keep one eye on history and know where the church has come from and what it's gone through. But really, our eyes have to be forward looking on the road ahead. And God has a road ahead for St. Bede's. And God has a road ahead for each one of you. He says in the book of Jeremiah, I know my plans for you, to give you a hope and a future. What is the key? It's to put our hand in His hand and walk with Him. And so here we see the baton of leadership has been passed from Moses, the great deliverer, lawgiver, tabernacle builder, prophet, creator of Israel's system of animal and plant sacrifices, to his protege Joshua, son of Nun. How must he have felt? It is how all Christians must feel when they read the words of Jesus, for he says to each one of us, take up your cross and follow me. We may not know exactly what that cross is, but whatever it is, it's the will of God in our lives, isn't it? Take up your cross and follow me. For we are all, each one of us, called to follow Jesus by his Spirit. Not to wander aimlessly around and around in a wilderness of our own making, or choosing for 40 years, but to follow him. You know, the Israelites really made it hard on themselves. They could have got to the promised land in a matter of days, if not weeks, if not days. Weeks for sure. But it took them 40 years of wandering around before they finally were able to do it. And that's kind of like us. Wandering aimlessly and with futility if we're not following the Lord. Perhaps doing okay in the process, perhaps gathering some wealth in the process, perhaps marrying, having kids, even perhaps having a pretty happy life. But unless we have heard God's call, and as the song says, we have decided to follow Jesus, that life ultimately is a futile life. It's a life with a barren eternity at best awaiting that person. So let's any and all of us decide today, if we haven't already, that we will follow Jesus. As the song says, where he leads, I will follow. Grounded in his word, wherever he wants to take us, both as families and individuals and as a church. Is that good? I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's renew our vows this morning. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Now, let's look at the promises given by God to Joshua, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and see this arrow of directionality, what God has in store, his promises for those who have decided to follow him. And let us imagine that God is speaking these words to us. In some cases individually, in other perhaps corporately, his church. And not just his church at St. Bede's, but his church throughout the world. Those who are following the Spirit of the Lord. He goes on to promise Joshua. This is the Father speaking. Every place, Joshua, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So there's land to be conquered. And the Christian life is about the conquering of the land, We call this process sanctification. We call this being transformed in the image of the Son. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We need to take those words and just pound them into our hearts. Pound them on our doorposts. Stick them up on our bathroom mirror. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That should at least give us courage to go out the front door in the morning and do what it is we have to be doing. This is an expansive vision given by God. Too often, I think, we as earnest Christians end up fighting a rearguard battle against sin. And our eyes are on the sin and our failures and our struggles, and we fail to see that the battle is actually a forward-looking battle into righteousness, into God's rest, into conquest of the Holy Land, and into inheritance. Now, the way we look at this struggle can affect the way we fight the battle, can't it? We can get really bogged down if we're introspective and endlessly going over our past failures and our sins and our weaknesses, the infirmities of the flesh. But what if instead we're attracted to this vision from God of a land that He has prepared for us, of a place of rest that He has prepared for us and that He calls us to, with the cloud and pillar leading us forward, the Word and the Spirit, going together victorious as people of God, ever moving forward and onwards and upwards to the good things, the good pasture land, the better things, the heavenly things. So we need this vision. We need a positive vision of the lands that God wants to take each and every one of us into. Now, notice that when the Lord says, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, the context. The context is in what? It's in Joshua going, isn't it? Going. And sometimes the Lord has to prod us to get going, get moving. I will be with you in your going. So go into the future God has for you, He says to Joshua and you and I will be with you. Now this may remind some of us of Jesus, who in effect reiterated this promise at the end of the gospel. When He said, what? Go. Go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And that's how we know He is with us now. The Lord spake unto Joshua, the Lord spoke to the apostles, and so the Lord today is speaking to you and me. Go, I will be with you. Well, what's next? In verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And now God, speaking to Joshua, pivots to the nub of the matter for one living in the real world. It takes courage. We need to find our strength in God. Only be thou strong and very courageous, And then he gives another key to this victorious life, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, all the word of God, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So we are a people that are attached to a book. We are a people that are attached to instructions and admonitions and commandments and God's ways of looking at things. And these words in the book are fundamental to our prospering in life. We find our prosperity not in seeking material wealth for its own sake, but in following the Lord's good will for our lives. Who wouldn't want to prosper in whatever they did and wherever they went? I know I would. And isn't this just like the psalmist in Psalm number 1? If you're not familiar with it, you can flip it to it later. But it's about the man whose roots are planted by this river of life. And his tree is giving forth fruit in its season. And he meditates on the word of God day and night. So we should be a people of the book, loving the book, meditating on the book. God goes on to say to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And we can generalize this book to the books of the Old Testament and the New Testament, both for us. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So the key to our success and happiness and prosperity is to be people of the book who deal both with commandments and promises and respond in faith. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Friends, don't you think if we believe that reading the Bible, letting it sink in, was the key to our prospering and flourishing in this world and the next, that we might read it more? That we might be hungry for it? He's saying there's a Bible study after church. Yay, let's go to that. Let's see what the Word of God says. No, that's not a dig, by the way, for anybody who chooses. That's not where I'm going with that. That's not what I mean by that. Listen to this word from God as it continues. Have not I, the Lord, commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed by what you see ahead and what you see on the side and what you see behind you. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Doesn't that sound wonderful? That doesn't sound too pinchy, does it? That sounds like a good God. A good God. Just stay in my word. Keep your heart right with me. I know you're weak. I know you're going to fail. I know you're going to stumble. I know all that. It's not new to me. I get that. But just keep your heart right. Stay in the Word. Let it sink in and soak in, because you know it's from a good God. And He will be with us when we go. He'll be with us when we succeed. He'll be with us when we falter. He'll be with us if we fail. And He'll lift us up, because that's the God we serve. Well, friends, this passage was about the passing of a baton. The New Testament lesson, as I mentioned, is also about another baton, Paul to Timothy. And there are batons being passed in the life of St. Bede's. Father Byram has left. Nancy has left. Margot and I are now here.
Bishop George has gone from us. And recently, Archbishop Robinson has passed the baton to Bishop Daniel Sparks. So there's been some baton passing taking place. We will meet Bishop Sparks in I believe, 2 weeks. And so we are preparing to live under Bishop Sparks' direction and going forward in faith together. Knowing that when batons are passed, God is in the action and God is with us. And He will not leave us nor forsake us. And the way ahead is glorious because it is paved with grace. Have not I, the Lord, commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Amen.